Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters. I hope you all had a good Independence Day, 4th of July, yesterday, and had all the picnic kind of things and stayed up late and watched fireworks and all of that good stuff. So Linda and I had some of it, but we're an 8:30 to bed people. So I think at midnight we both woke up and heard some of the fireworks, but other than that, would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We've been looking at what's commonly known as the Beatitudes. What's happening here is that Jesus early on has gathered his disciples, newly chosen, and others who were interested, and giving them an orientation about this is what it will be like to be kingdom people. If you're going to follow me as kingdom people, this is what you are going to look like. First of all, he says, get poor. He's not necessarily talking about material poor. He's talking about in our hearts that we will push aside and get rid of anything that is prideful and that which we depend upon so that our bankruptcy is in Jesus himself alone. Then he says, get sad. Get sad over our sins so that we don't get used to them, take them lightly, compromise, and live with this sin or that sin in our life, but that we get sad and serious about dealing with our sin. Then he says, get gentle. Don't be so brash with people, but be gentle. Then he says, get hungry and thirsty, but get hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for me, because I am righteous. Get hungry and thirsty for me. And then we come to verse 7. Blessed, he says, happy, favored, are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Lord God, I ask that you by your Spirit would give us insight and instruction about what it is to be people who are full of mercy. We know that's not always a good quality to have according to the world standards. They commonly tell us to be tough and strong and make our own way and look out for ourselves, but you're telling us here that if we're going to be followers of you, kingdom people, we've got to be absolutely full of mercy. So by your Spirit, show us what that means and then show us how we can get that in our life. In Christ's name, amen. I suppose all of us have extended some mercy in our life. In some instance, some occasion, and certainly we all have experienced mercy in our life to some degree or another, from God, but from other people as we've traversed through life. Some of us are more prone to be merciful than others. Some of us are just wired to be more kindly and caring and compassionate toward others than some of the rest of us. When I served in the Western Pennsylvania District Office of the Christian Missionary Alliance, I worked under a district superintendent who commonly would go with me on some ministry trips down into Pittsburgh, downtown Pittsburgh. And always when we went down, he'd always have a pocket of change. And whenever we would go by anybody that would say, can you help me, sir? Can you give me a little something? Always he gave. He said, well, the scripture says, always give to those who ask. So he said, I do. And he did. As we'd make our way down through the street, he would give some money to anybody who asked for it. Now, I never did. And I'll just be honest, I've not been one to do that kind of thing. in my life, once in a while, when I'm coming to a stop sign and somebody is there and wanting something, once in a very great while, I will feel impressed to do something. But it's not a regular thing with me. But Jesus says here that if we're going to look like Jesus, we have to be full of mercy. It's something that gives us an opportunity to look like God more than perhaps many other things, is to be full of mercy. Mercy means full of compassion, full of pity, full of favor, but it's actually more than that. It's actually action. It's not just feeling it, but it's feeling it and then doing something about it. That's what mercy is all about. So how do we become like that? How do we become what Jesus is saying, mercy-full people? Well, let me suggest some ways. Number one, first of all, we must be captivated with the merciful one himself. We must be enthralled with the merciful one himself, God himself. Sometimes we get the idea that in the Old Testament, God is judgmental, hard, and law, and in the New Testament, he is loving and kind and tender-hearted. I want to suggest to you that God is loving, compassionate, and tender-hearted in the Old Testament as well. In Exodus chapter 34, we see the story, 33-34, about Moses and wanting to see the glory of God, wanting to see God. And as you recall, when Moses was put back into the cleft of the rock and God went by, he announced who he was. He gave his name. He said, "My name is Compassionate One, Merciful One, Loving One, Long-Suffering One, Patient One." So God is merciful himself, full of mercy in all he is. He showed that mercy from the very start of time when Adam and Eve, our first parents, sinned. He did not simply get upset with them and say, "Well, they chose the wrong thing. I'm done with them. I'm only justice. And so they failed, so they're not getting anything from me," and go his way. No, he didn't do that at all. But in his love and his mercy, he began rolling out a plan of redemption and salvation that we could all experience through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Titus chapter 3, verse 2, and in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, that tied together is God in love and mercy together. So much so that he developed a plan in which he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to be for us our Redeemer and redemption, because he is the merciful one. We discover that in the Old Testament, because of his love for the people of Israel, he established the Holy of Holies, and in it was the Ark of the Covenant. And over the Ark of the Covenant were two cherubim, and right between them in the middle was what was known as the mercy seat. And the mercy seat was where sacrifice could be given and the atonement for God's people could be made and forgiveness could be given and people could experience redemption. God did that because of his great mercy for the people of Israel. Our mercy seat is the cross. That is the mercy seat that God established for us. He sent his Son. He shed his blood. And there we have mercy. There we can find forgiveness of sins and redemption. And many of us have found that. And if there are some here who have not found that, run to the mercy seat, because there is forgiveness. There is mercy, because he is the merciful one. So, my brothers and sisters, my friends, first of all, be captivated by this merciful one. Psalm 103 is a wonderful psalm. I love it best in the King James Version because they use the proper word mercy. Not just compassion, not just loving kindness, not just love. They use the word mercy. And they talk about the all-giving part of God. You see, God doesn't have mercy. He is mercy. That's who he is. There's no separation from him. And Psalm 103 talks about his compassionate care, his watch. Let me just take time to read some of that. If you want to go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Let me start in verse 7. This is about the merciful one, God himself. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate. The Lord is merciful, the word is. And gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. The Hebrew word here is chesed, which means mercy, loving kindness, and all that we're talking about here. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. This, my brothers and sisters, is mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has mercy on his children, so the Lord has mercy on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Verse 17, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's mercy is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. And the psalmist goes on, David, talking about this wonderful mercy. So if we are going to become people who walk with Jesus, and people observe us and can say, wow, he, she is full of mercy. It begins with us being captivated by the merciful one who is high above us, who is full of compassion. He doesn't have mercy. He is mercy. Secondly, we must become conduits of this mercy. We must be individuals who are willing to carry this mercy that we receive from this merciful one and carry it to others. In the Roman Empire, one of their points of genius was their ability to provide water right into the homes of the citizens. And they did that because outside the city or cities was a great reservoir of water, and then they built aqueducts, these channels that would run from the reservoir right down into the city, right down into the town, and then out to where the people lived. You and I are to be aqueducts. We are to be conduits to carry this love to others, to be full of mercy to those who are around us. My father is 94 years old, and he still lives independently, gets around fairly well, and he manages a number of rental properties that he owns. About 2 years ago, when I was talking to him on the phone, he said, by the way, the storefront that I own, I remodeled into an apartment. I put in a bathroom and a shower and a kitchenette, recarpeted the whole area. And then I went down to the old train station and found two homeless people that have been there for many months. And I said, come, live in this apartment. It's for you. And so they're living there. I said, what? What did you do? Now you can't rent that storefront to anybody that would like it. And besides that, they'll never pay you any rent. And besides that, they will wreck it. And he said, yes, I know. And immediately, I heard a voice in my head saying, your dad has more mercy than you do. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I love the story of, and you, we all know it well, of the Good Samaritan, because it kind of outlines for us how we ought to live as we relate to other people. And you recall that there was a man who was in Jerusalem and he decided to make his way down to Jericho, but on the way he fell into the evil hands of some robbers who took everything he had and beat him up and left him for dead. And the priest, a priest, who probably was in Jerusalem at the temple worshiping, now going perhaps home or somewhere else, down the road toward Jericho, he sees the man, but he goes to the other side and continues on his way. And a Levite does the same thing, and they both probably rationalized, I have an appointment to make, I can't help this person, or let somebody else help them, or I don't want to get involved, I might get sued, who knows, I'm just going to continue on my way. But a Samaritan, cross-cultural person, setting down, and he sees him. And he doesn't just see him, but he has compassion on him. He cares. He has pity on the person, and he kneels down, and he sees the wounds. So he gets into his backpack, and he pulls out some oil and some wine and anoints the man's and wrap bandages. He takes the man, he puts him on his own donkey. He takes him to the inn. He cares for him all night long, and in the morning he leaves him there, but he says to the innkeeper, here is some money, which was equal to, what would be equal to, 2 days of pay. I don't know what any of you make, but let's say $150, $200 a day, $100 a day, multiply that times two, and leaving that there for the innkeeper to take care of him. And then said, if there's more expense, I'll pay when I get back. So the call for us is to open our eyes and see those who are in need. And then see with care and compassion and not rationalize a way that, well, let somebody else do it, or we have our own needs, we just have enough in our pocket for ourselves, but that we get involved and help in that particular way to encourage them, to strengthen them, that we might show mercy. Blessed are the merciful, Jesus said, for they will be shown merciful. My people are full of mercy. Those who follow me, you can know them because they are full of mercy. It just oozes out of them. They care about situations. They care about people. They reach into their lives. Now, I know there are some of us who maybe are not as so apt to be merciful who may say, but, you know, what about justice? You can't just be merciful all the time. Justice is God to come in on occasion, and certainly the Bible talks about exercising justice. But we're talking about justice that is tempered with mercy. Justice that is tempered by care. There is a definite difference between a paddling and a beating. There's definite difference between discipline and outright curity. Justice without mercy is revenge or retaliation. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. So we exercise justice with gentleness. Several years ago now, many years ago, I was appointed by the national office to be involved in a discipline case with an alliance leader who had made some bad choices and was involved in sin. So we gathered the team together with this gentleman who had chosen and still was choosing to go down a sinful path. One of the men on the committee, as we each had our turn to address this wayward person, one of the men on the committee stood, pointed his finger at the gentleman, and screamed and yelled at him, slammed his hand down on the table, telling him how evil he was, how wrong he was, how corrupt he was, and he needed to straighten out his life. It was so strong, I was kind of glad when he sat down. But next to him, that gentleman could hardly talk. Tears were running down his cheeks. He simply quietly extended his hand. He said, "My brother, please turn from the choice you've made. Make your way back to Jesus. Receive him into your life completely again. And make your way straight with love in his heart." And I thought, there is mercy in the middle of this justice. So, my friends, may God help you and me to be conduits of mercy, that we can carry the mercy, certainly justice, but tempered with mercy. I remember reading a number of years ago about a judge who had indicated to a young man because of his wrong that he had a fine to pay, and the young man said, "I don't have it." The judge stood, moved his robe aside, reached into his wallet, and he paid the money. That is mercy. Be a conduit of mercy. May God help us to have hearts full of mercy in that way. Be people of mercy. And then be containers or receivers of mercy. Number three, that we would be containers and receivers of mercy in our life. Because the text says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." They will be shown mercy. We will receive mercy spiritually, with spiritual blessing. Lamentations talks about new every day, full of mercies. But also, I believe he gives to us, can give to us some physical and material mercies as well. I read about a missionary who was facing some serious medical issues a number of years ago and simply could not get help. They had to leave the field and come back to the United States, and in the process still continued to have their problems, the problems they had. And they were reading Isaiah 58, verse 7 and 8, which talks about those who are kind to the poor and goodly to those who are in difficult situations shall find healing. So this person got involved in ministry to the poor, the homeless. And as a result of that, they said, "My health began to return, strength began to come, and healing began to become my way." Most of you know that I retired about 6 years ago, and I've done a number of interims. One of the interims I did was with a church that had lost their pastor, who had been there about 10 years, and the church was facing serious financial issues. I frankly thought they probably wouldn't be able to get a pastor full-time because the money was simply not there. But in the course of my journey with them, God began to work in their hearts that they had a sensitivity to the homeless in their particular county. And they made contact with a county agency. And the county agency said, "Well, if you want to help, we need about 100 bag lunches on this particular day of the month, every month." for the homeless in our area. So that church began once a month. We would go to their fellowship hall and set up an assembly line. They were a church about the size of our church, and they would make 100 bags and take them there. And I noticed that, I don't know if it seemed like there wasn't a connection, but our money began to increase. God seemed to bless materially. And after I left the scene, they began to work with the county and actually started helping the homeless find apartments and supplying what they needed. And God still built them up financially. And I still get their newsletter, and I'm amazed, for a church their size, how much money God provides for them every month. Is there a connection? I don't know, but Isaiah 58, 7 and 8 seems to indicate that there can be a connection in that kind of thing. But the Bible does say, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. A number of years ago, Princeton Seminary offered a course that involved studying the Gospels, in particular stories in the Gospel, trying to understand them. And so in one particular class, they were studying the parable of the Good Samaritan. And they had the professor gave the students the assignment the date it was to be done. He said, I want you to study the culture, I want you to study the history, I want you to study the language, I want you to study all the linguistical syntax, and I want you to study the application. I want you to come back on this date and explain the analysis, and then also the application. So they, of course, didn't have a choice. They agreed to that. Unbeknownst to them, the professor went and hired three actors. The one actor, he said he wanted this young woman to carry a bunch of books, and as the students were coming to the class, to drop the books in front of them. The second actor, he was a stuntman, and he said, I want you to fall down these steps and act like you're greatly hurt in front of the students as they're coming up the steps. And the third one, he said, I want you to carry a gas can. I want you to say to the students as you see them coming, I need help. I finally have an interview for a job, but my car is out of gas. Can someone please help me so I can get to this job for this interview and I don't lose it? Nobody stopped to do anything for any of the three. The class was held. The explanation of the students was well done. At the end of the class, the professor said, you all get an A for analysis, but you get an F for application. What? What are you talking about? We thought we did a good job here explaining to you the application. And the professor went over, opened the door, and first the young woman came in with the books. Then came the gentleman who had fallen down some of the steps, then came the individual who was carrying a gas can, and then they got it. They saw what they missed. You see, my friends, mercy is not just a study. Mercy is not just a sermon. Mercy is what you and I do. So, let's do it. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that you have been clear with us what you want us to look like, full of mercy. We ask, Lord, that you would give to us the ability, the strength, the dependence upon you, the merciful one, to so indwell us and empower us and energize us that we might indeed be merciful people. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.